This is Ozarks at Large. Tuesday night, a large cast of characters will be on stage at Walton Arts Center. From a man-child obsessed with Wheel of Fortune named Ed Grimley to a clueless interviewer of celebrities named Jiminy Glick. But just one man is the center of the show, comic and actor Martin Short. The Emmy Award-winning veteran of SCTV, Saturday Night Live, and movies like The Three Amigos brings a one-man tour de force to Walton Arts Center Tuesday night. This morning, I talked to him on the phone, and he explains, it's a one-man show, yes, but it's more.
It is a one-man show. There's no question about that. It probably should be billed, you know, a party with Marty. Because it's basically like Saturday Night Live, hosted by Martin Short, with the cast Martin Short. Because it's very, there's a lot of improv, but you know, all the characters that I've ever done show up in costume. They're screens, so it's multimedia. Characters I did from Saturday Night Live, Ed Grimley and Jackie Rogers and Jiminy Glick and Franck from the Father of the Brian movies all show up at different times. There's a three. I go in the audience and bring three guys up, and we do the Three Amigos.
The whole physical.
It's Jiminy Glick will interview a surprise guest. You know.
Well, this must mean that you're quite busy both on and off stage because Ed Grimley and Jiminy Glick, they come with some makeup and some preparation.
Well, Ed Grimley, sadly enough, people would say to me, that's the homeliest character, homeliest guy I've ever seen in my life. How long does it take to get you made up? I'd say, unfortunately, it's like a quick powder. So that's just the hair. Jiminy Glick, you know, in the movies or on television would be 2.5 hours, but in this is a fast kind of mask, half mask and wig and fat suit and step and zip. It's surprisingly 2 minutes.
So many of your familiar characters, like Jiminy Glick and Ed Grimley, have this sort of charming, unaware quality. There is an innocence with them, especially with Ed Grimley. Even with Jiminy Glick, he doesn't really realize what kind of uninformed buffoon he can be, does he?
No, he's just a moron with power. So he would say to... I did this interview with Mel Brooks once where I said to him, what's your big beef with the Nazis? And he just looked at me and said, oh, I don't know, I think they're rude, you know? But it's not that Jiminy Glick is trying to, he thinks he's Oprah.
Right.
He's just Oprah without a brain.
And of course, the series was on Comedy Central, and I know that you would bring people up when you had the permanent run on stage. Is there any preparation for the guest? Does Mel Brooks or Jerry Seinfeld or anybody like that have?
But I would usually, you know, half hour before the show, while I'm getting made up or something, I would go to IMDb and I would look at quickly refresh myself with the history because you didn't have to know a lot because Jiminy Glick was so ill informed. Usually I would go to the most obscure credit and then be the biggest fan of that. So that the person struggling to even know what you're talking about when you're going on about his role as Dr. Jackson in, you know, The Guiding Light.
Your first acting job really was in Godspell, is that correct?
Yes, in Toronto.
With an amazing cast.
I was still in university, but I auditioned for it. And, it was Gilda Radner and Paul Schaefer was at University of Toronto, and they hired him, and Eugene Levy and Andrea Martin and Victor Garber. It was Jesus. It was that thing where you suddenly realize years later, wow, that was an unusual period of time, which it was in Toronto. John Candy was trying to get a job. Danny Aykroyd always smelled of gas because he was always working on his car. He was trying to get a job.
But I guess at the time you were too young or perhaps not experienced enough to know just how much talent was around you.
I remember, you know, I used to go out with Gilda Radner. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first person to be asked to go to New York and do something was Paul Schaefer, and he was working on this show. And I remember Gilda and I were on two different phones in her kitchen. And we asked Paul, but Gilda said, Paul, what are New York actors like? And Paul said, well, maybe I'm prejudiced, but it seems like you guys are just as talented. And we thought, aw, isn't that sweet? Because it did feel like we were in the boondocks, and that was the real world. And that we could never make it there.
So much of what you make fun of, whether it was on SCTV or Saturday Night Live or in your live show, it's about Hollywood and entertainment. do you ever step back and realize, I'm sure you do, that sort of irony that you're making your living in one of the things that is so much fun for you to skew?
Well, I think you just kind of, obviously, often you're on television. So people are watching television because they're interested in the entertainment world. I'm in the entertainment world, therefore I know it well. And so it goes hand in hand. I always thought that Jiminy Glick, for example, could have been a great politician character, you know, someone who's running for Congress or congressman. And you could have done it that way. It just so happened when I was doing a talk show and I wanted another character to be the roving reporter so we could get actually more, you know, celebrities on the talk show so he could go out to junkets and he could go to, you know, locations and you could get guests that you couldn't normally get.
Is there any difference in preparation if you're doing live, which obviously no second takes or anything like that, and you go straight through, than there is if you're doing a sketch comedy show or a film?
Well, I think you become more obsessive when you're actually on television, but what's kind of great about doing live is that you go out for 90 minutes or 100 minutes, and you have a mission. You have to win that audience over, and you kind of want them to feel like walk away saying, "Oh, that was a riot. That was so much fun. That was I'm in a great mood now." And again, you have so many minutes to make that happen. And I find the challenge great. It's like going fishing, you know, or going hunting or going skiing. It's you've got a mission before you. It's physical. And it doesn't really matter what you say. It's how you appear. Do they feel that they've hung with Martin Short during that period of time? And I think my show makes them feel that.
And I guess live, it's easier to know the laugh lines and be able to, I don't want to say milk that, but ride with that appropriately. But
yeah, I mean, every show is different, and a lot of my shows are improvised. So I don't know. I find that I've always done this. It didn't matter whether I was making a movie or working on a television special or doing a television show. I would always book about 3 or 4 shows a month. And in that way, you never become rusty. You're always, you know, I've done Broadway runs and Broadway shows. But by doing this, you always feel in the moment when you're on stage. Because it's very easy, like anything, if you're off the stage for a year or two, suddenly you're saying, oh, that's too daunting, that's too scary, I don't want to do anymore.
Well, an evening with Martin Short at Walton Arts Center. Mr. Short, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Comic and actor Martin Short in a phone call conversation recorded earlier today. You can see Martin Short on stage at Walton Arts Center Tuesday night. For more information about the show, waltonartscenter.org. This is Ozarks at Large.